You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Literally 2 minutes when we were inside, that's when I started to hear ladies scream at the back.
Monica Seve had just stepped into an Auckland supermarket on Friday when she heard a commotion. She says she instinctively walked towards the noise.
And then it just went from walking towards it to everyone turning around and running for the exit, and everyone screaming that he had a knife, he had a knife. And then I saw a lady come out who had clearly, like, she was bleeding from the leg down, and no one was helping her.
Monica went up to the woman and helped her to a safe place where she tried to stem the bleeding.
And then I just said, you know, you're in shock, you need to sit down, you're bleeding. And so she sat down and I feel like she kind of just trusted me and like fully just collapsed. And then said like, oh, I'm so scared. I said, it's okay, like I'm going to help you. And then I pressed on her wound and it was just, yeah, it was really, really bad. And so I said, can I take off your jumper, please? I'm going to wrap it around your wound. And then we were in the process of doing that, and then someone yelled out that there's a gun. And it went from her being completely relaxed to like, oh my gosh. And then she got up and tried to hide in between the trolleys where we were. And I was like, no, we gotta go. And then she just ran. Her niece was in contact with us and said that she made it to hospital and she was gonna be okay.
As New Zealand continues to come to terms with this incident, more details are emerging about the assailant, reported to be inspired by terror network IS. The call to prayer sounds in the Sri Lankan town of Kattankudi, more than 10,000 kilometres away from New Zealand. It's a small enclave just south of the eastern fishing town of Batticolo, with a population just under 47,000 in 2014, most of them Muslim. The spectre of terrorism has hung over this town for decades. In 1990, during the Civil War, 30 militants raided 4 mosques in the township, killing over 147 Muslim worshippers. The government attributed the attack to the Rebel Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam, who have consistently denied involvement. In 2019, 2 of the terrorists involved in the Easter Sunday bombings, including the suspected ringleader, were from Kattankudi. And it was the hometown of the 32-year-old attacker in Auckland, Ahmed Samsuddin, who left the country a decade ago on a student visa seeking refugee status. His mother, Muhammad Ismail Farida, claims he was radicalised in New Zealand by his neighbours after a near-fatal accident 5 years ago. Here she speaks with a local TV news channel.
He left for New Zealand in 2011. In 2016, when he was at university, he fell from the 4th floor. Because he didn't have anyone there, it was people from Syria and Iraq who helped him. It looks like they've brainwashed him. Then he started posting on Facebook.
At this time, New Zealand police noticed his online support for terrorism. The following year, he was detained at Auckland Airport. Authorities say he was en route to Syria to join the IS insurgency. He was released on bail. At that point, his mother says, his behaviour changed.
After being arrested in 2017, he talked less with us. It was about once every 3 months. We knew he'd changed, and my eldest and the second son were angry with him and scolded him. He was released and there was a case against him. He changed only after going abroad.
In 2018, Ahmed Samsuddin was jailed for 3 years after he was found possessing IS videos and knives. The following year, his refugee status was cancelled after evidence of fraud was found. The government moved to cancel his visa and deport him, but he appealed from prison, stalling the process until his criminal trial finished in May. Calls from immigration authorities to keep him detained were ignored, and he was released in July. New Zealand's government has pledged to close the gap in the counter-terrorism laws that kept him free. Deputy Prime Minister Grant Robertson.
Throughout the large part of this period, the terrorist was actually in prison, and therefore the deportation process stopped until that had changed. If we were to change that, that is a very significant move and would need quite a lot of consideration. So we have at every turn gone to every part of the law. No stone was left unturned. Now that we're in the position we're in now, of course we will continue to look at potential law changes.
The incident has again drawn attention to Sri Lanka and the threat of extremist activity. The country is yet to heal the divides caused by its brutal civil war that ended in 2009. Asanga Abeya Gunasekara is the former Director General of the Institute of National Security Studies in Sri Lanka.
I think it's important that Sri Lanka looking at what's going on in the society, because you don't want Sri Lanka to have or produce more extremist terrorists. Maldives has become the largest per capita of terrorists which were sent to Syria.
He warns the withdrawal of allied troops from Afghanistan will have knock-on effects suppressing terrorism across the Asia Pacific.
The links, the extremist terror cells, what you would see is in South Asia especially, will have a significant impact with the US withdrawal. And I see serious connections to the regional security architecture, which has been disturbed. I don't see China or Russia taking that place to balance the regional security architecture.
Naveen Razik, SBS News.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.